down first. That's why that has to be the foundation. You'll have difficulty in all your relationships. And you have to not only, you know, get a revelation of how much God loves you, then you've got to be able to use that love to let things go. You're never going to get very far in life going through it offended, holding grudges, holding things against people. So we've talked about all these things, and we've had some great questions, and I believe the messages have been very informative. I go back, believe it or not, and listen to them myself. And I encourage you, you know, to absorb these things, because the Word of God is either for you at this very moment for your own life, or it's for you this moment to help somebody else. Now we have, and we're going to talk about practical things, and there's things today. You say, well, I don't have children, so they don't apply to me. Well, you know, there's a lot of children that come to this church that their parents don't come to church. How many know there's a lot of children that need godly influence and godly wisdom, somebody imparting into their lives the things of God? So take down what we're saying today as not only spiritual things, but the practical things, so that we can do the will of God. The will of God says, and I want to just say this to you up front, that you as husband and wife, when you come together in marriage, and we'll talk to husbands and we'll talk to wives. We got a few more things to talk about before we get through with this series. But it is the desire of God, it is the will of God, that you bring into this earth godly offspring. Amen. I said godly offspring. Amen. Now, in order to produce godly offspring, they're going to have to be taught the ways of God. They're going to have to be taught the precepts, line upon line, here little, there little, and you're going to be, I think you're going to, when you see what the Word of God says, there is no, you know, there is no age limit. In fact, you need to start as young as possible teaching these things into your children. Okay, now let's get into the questions right quick, because I want to get into what we're going to talk about, and then we'll go to Proverbs 20 here in just a second. It says, here's the first question. Would you put up question one? I did give you all the questions, right? Yeah, here we go. It says, what should parents do when they disagree on what they should or should not allow their children to do? Now, again, listen to me. Don't check out because you don't have children. You know, singles, you know, we've talked to you, we've addressed you, but you have to also keep in mind that someday you'll probably get married, and if you get married, you'll probably have children. So these are tools that you can even use now as conversation pieces in that courtship or that dating process. If you're married and you have children, then you can use these things right now. If you're grandparents, then you can use these to teach your children. And if they allow you to teach their children. Are y'all awake? Okay. So what should parents do when they disagree? Well, the answer, and of course I simplify the answer here, first of all, is to get you and your spouse into agreement if all possible. I give you a scripture. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Now there's always going to be times of disagreement, but do it all possible. How many know it would be better to get in agreement than to be 100% correct? No, you didn't hear what I said. As husband and wife, it's always best to find a common place to get in agreement, even if you believe you're right 100% of the time. So remember this, you can't walk together unless you agree. So the whole point is find out how you can get in agreement. Let me encourage you this with parents, and we try to always, give this to you, because you should never, as mother and dad or husband and wife, you should never have your arguments in front of the children. You should never fight and get into contention with one another in earshot of the children. If you have differences and you have situations you need to work out, do it when you're out of sight and out of earshot of your children. Because you don't want to let them see you be in contention with one another. And then finally, the safe prayer, like she said a while ago, the safe prayer is always, you know, if you're, say, the mother or the wife, and you have a little different philosophy of how, you know, you should raise children, well, you know, pray that God would open either your eyes or the eyes of your husband. Those are safe prayers, okay? Because, again, what she was saying is you don't change the other person. God has to open up revelation. God has to give that person insight. And I don't know about you, but I want to do the things the ways of God. I want to do my life, and I want to... The Bible has a lot to say about raising our children. Come on. Okay, so what you and I have to learn is that we've got to lay down our philosophy or our opinions and find out what God says so that our children will be raised up correctly in the Lord. Amen. Then question two, and let me just say this. There's, you know, always wait. You'll find in life that there's very few decisions that you need to make in a hurry. Just wait on the Lord. Wait and learn how to hear the voice of God. And we'll talk about that more a little bit later. Now, here's the question number two. These are all good questions, but today they're on... I just concentrate on the children, okay, a little bit here. It says, how do I teach my children to be more forgiving? And we spent a lot of time this morning talking about forgiving. Now, here's my answer. The first is that you have to do it by precept and by example. You know, your children have to see you as people that forgive. And you have to, you know, show them and take opportunity. When you have a situation where you need to forgive somebody, that your children see that you are quick to do that. Now, I don't, you know, again, we're not teaching on this particular aspect of it. But, again, learn the scriptures on forgiveness. Know that you're not going to go very far in life if you do not learn to forgive. And let me just give you a jump start. You can write these scriptures down. We're not going to go to Mark 11, 25 and 26, Ephesians 4, 32, and Luke 6, 36 and 37. Those are some good scriptures that you can take, and you can go home and you can look at those things. And then the second thing is to be an example of forgiveness in front of your children. When you have opportunity to forgive somebody, take time to teach your children, look, this is what happened here, and I want to show you what I did to forgive this person. And so look for opportunities that you have to impart into your children's life by living the example of being a forgiver. How many of you believe it's good to be a forgiver? Okay, but your children have to learn to forgive too, because the same, you know, things that will keep you from being blessed in unforgiveness is the same things that will keep your children from being blessed if they learn and stay in unforgiveness. Come on, somebody. And then question number three, and it's all right to use yourself for example. I mean, it's really good to use yourself for example. And some of you watch a lot of TV and so on and so forth, and I'm not up here, you know, you can do the things you want to do, but when you see those things on your TV programs, you can use those as examples of what not to do. Because almost every TV program you see has got examples of how kids are in rebellion to their parents. Of how kids, you know, either talk back to their parents, or they're holding something, or they're fighting. You can use, if you're going to go ahead and let that stuff be seen by your children, at least use that to point out where that is not of God. Okay? Then question number three. Oh, boy. Would you explain? Because I know there's a lot of different opinions here. Would you explain the sparing of the rod and how we should, as Christians, discipline our children? Well, I'd be glad to this morning. And so I'm titling the message, if you're taking notes, The Tough Side of Love. And go with me to Proverbs 22:6, that's where I had you turn. And we're just going to take off here today because if, again, don't cut me off, okay, because you need to hear what I'm about to say. If you don't fall, listen, If you don't fall into any of the categories, maybe there's, you know, maybe you don't have any grandchildren, maybe you don't have any children of your own, you know, but listen, you know what the Bible says? That the elder is supposed to teach the younger. Did y'all know that? Did you know that, you know, the elder person should have grown in the wisdom and the stature and the knowledge of the Lord? And they're supposed to not only be examples to the younger ones, but they are to teach the younger generation. Okay? And so Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, it's important that we see that training becomes a process. And that if we don't train the child, for example, if you don't train your child to hear your voice, then that child is going to grow up and have difficulty hearing the voice of God. If you don't teach your children how to be obedient to what you say, then that child is going to grow up being disobedient. Disobedient children grow up to be disobedient adults. When you do not teach your children how to obey you, it's not their fault. It's your fault. 100%. Are y'all are listening good? Okay. Now let me take you through a few scriptures because, again, here's what happens. Look at, you're right there in Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 23. I want to give you three main points here, and I'm going to talk about something else here that the Bible uses to define the importance of using the rod, what we call the rod of correction. Now, again, if you took a survey, and I'm aware that when I teach these things, we can step on a lot of toes, and, you know, the world has its way. And this is one of the problems, church, listen to me. One of the problems is that you don't hear these things in church very much. Now, we talked about the fire of God. Remember Wednesday? You don't hear a lot about the fire of God. But when you don't hear these things taught out of your Bible, then you allow the influence or the spirit of the world to influence you that, oh, this must be right. Dr. Spock or Dr. Ruth or whoever they are that has PhDs, this must be right or the way that the world does it. Because the way the world views paddling is that you are being abusive to your children. Now, let me say it again. I said the world's idea of paddling, using a rod of correction, their idea of that is that you're abusing your children and you're hurting your children. Well, we need to go back to what the Word of God says because it can't be, you know, what my opinion is. It can't be what your opinion is. It can't be what our philosophy is. We need to come back. If we're going to train our children up in the way that they should go so that when they get up and become adults, they don't depart from the training that you did on them, then you're going to have to do it God's way. And if you do it God's way, you're going to use the rod of correction. Okay? Now, again, I know because I've heard people say things like, well, you know, I wouldn't spank my child. I love them too much. Well, you, and I understand what you're saying, but I'm asking you to open your heart and let God open your eyes up, okay? Because when you make statements like that, you're not stating truth. You're not stating what God says, okay? In fact, you say that you love your child so much you don't spank them, but in reality, according to the Word of God, you don't love your child at all. In other words, you don't care how they grow up. And let me say this. If you don't care how your children grow up, and everybody should listen to this, then you should stop making babies. I told you not everybody's going to like what I've got to say today, but I'm going to say what the Word of God says. Amen? All right, Proverbs 23. Let's look at this scripture right quick, and I'll get to these points here. The point one is that discipline is your responsibility. You might want to write that down. Disciplining your children is your responsibility. Now, let's see what the Word of God says. Proverbs 23:15. What does it say? Foolishness, say foolishness. And we're going to find out that when Proverbs uses the word foolishness and fools, it's really the word rebellion. Now, when the Bible talks about a proverb fool, it's talking about a child that's in rebellion. When a child does not obey, the Bible calls that foolish. When a person doesn't obey, it's called foolish, but in reality, it is rebellion. Remember the scripture in Proverbs? It says, only a fool would say in their heart, there is no God. Well, what it's saying is only somebody, only a person that was not trained to obey, that person is in rebellion, would say in their heart, there's no God. Okay? Now look. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, and the rod of correction will what? The rod of correction will drive it out. Or as the Amplified Bible says, it is the rod of discipline. Now, someone, you know, if you're having trouble disciplining your children, you really need to hear what the Word of God says about training and disciplining your children. When you use the rod of correction, you're not going to kill them. You're not going to scar them for life. Now, we're talking about doing it correctly. We're talking about doing it right. When the Bible tells us to use the rod of correction, it says that it will drive foolishness or rebellion out of the child. You do not have to teach children how to rebel. Would you say amen? And so rebellion is in the child as a sin nature, and that rebellion has to be driven out. It's not driven out. The Bible doesn't say you drive out rebellion by giving them quiet time or putting them in the room and punishing them for something they did. It says that it is the rod of correction that drives out rebellion. That's why we see in our society today, that's why we see in America even, the generation of children that have grown up and the condition, the way that our society is today is because we have a society and generation of rebellious adults who were not trained with the rod of correction when they were small. Amen. All right? So, how many know God is wise? He is a wise father, and He knows how to do it correctly. And so it becomes important for you and I to get into the Word of God and see what the Word says, not the influence that we're getting by the world. Now, here's another question. Let me just read this one because I saw it here. Who should use the rod on children, the mother or the father? Well, the answer is both. The answer is both because the Bible instructs children to obey their parents in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. When it becomes one or the other. Now, I understand there's sometimes single parent issues. Sometimes you don't have the spouse there and so on and so forth. But when you are together, it should be a joint effort together. You should never, listen, moms, you should never tell your children, you're going to get it when your dad comes home tonight. Now, how many have ever heard that? You know, that became a philosophy, I think, back in the 70s. You know, wait till your dad gets home. But listen, that is absolutely not the right thing or the right approach to do. Because what you are doing is instilling fear towards their father. So that they're afraid when, you know, this happened at 8 o'clock in the morning and they got to stay in fear and terror all day long until the father gets home. And when he comes home, I mean, no, he's not going to be glad to see his father. Okay? So I'm trying to tell you these things that, you know, discipline becomes the responsibility of both parents because you want your children to respect both mother and father. Amen. Now, a lot of times, you know, the mother has trouble spanking the child. That's why you have to start early. You have to start young. And if you're the only one there and the father's not around, you do it. Don't wait for the father to come home. You have the responsibility to do it because the child is going to respect you. Just like you want the child, the father wants the child to respect him when he has to discipline. If it's always coming from one side, then the children begin to play the game and pit one against the other. Okay? Now that's the first point, is that you have the responsibility to discipline your children, both of you. It is a joint effort. It is partnership. The second point I want to make to you is that discipline is the act of love. That's why I titled the message, The Tough Side of Love. Because, again, I've heard parents say, well, you know, I just don't believe in that. I just don't believe. I would never let anybody hit my children. Well, you don't let anybody hit your children. You learn how to use the rod of correction on them. Proverbs 23, did I read the scripture? Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. Now look at this. It says, do not withhold. Are you reading? Are you reading? If you don't have your Bible, look up on the screen. Do not withhold correction from a child. Now why would we be told not to withhold correction from our children? Why would God put that in the Word? Because He knew how some of you are going to feel. He knew some of you were going to have empathy. You're going to have sympathy. You're going to have, you know, you're not going to, your emotions are going to get into it. You're feeling, oh, you know, oh, Johnny's so cute. How could I hit him? It says, withhold, look, do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him, and really that's spanky, I'm not, you don't, you know, you're not out to bruise him or to inflict punishment, okay? If you beat him with the rod of discipline, the Amplified says, he will what? He's not going to die. If you do it right, he is not going to die. Now, if you don't learn to do it right, then you've got a problem. That's why you have to learn what God says. He said, you shall beat him with the rod and what? Now, this is important that you see this. Mark these scriptures and that you deliver his or her soul from hell. That's why he said you train up these children in the way that they should go so that when they get old, they won't depart from it. Well, what I'm saying is that when you make statements like, well, I just couldn't, you know, he's looking so cute. I mean, you know. No, you don't realize what you're saying, okay? The only way that you can drive out that foolishness is by the rod of correction. Are you with me? All right, so you're literally teaching, now, you're literally teaching your children to learn how to hear your voice. Not listen, because everybody's listening. Remember, there's a difference between listening and hearing. You know, if your child, for example, let me just use an example for you. If your child is out there kicking a ball around in the front yard and he kicks it towards the street and you start saying, Johnny, and he's running towards the street. Johnny! Johnny! And he just keeps on running to the street. See, he needs to learn when you say his name, he needs to hear your voice and know that when you call his name, he stops. You should never say it three times, as a matter of fact. You should teach them that you say it one time and one time only. And if they don't stop, they get the paddle. Are you with me? Because why? You're teaching them to hear your voice. That when you speak, you're not teaching them that you're speaking just to say words. Now, you can't say they're hard of hearing because if you say, Johnny, I got a surprise. I got a surprise for you. They hear. Right? Got candy for you. They hear. It's not that they can't hear what you're saying. They have to be trained to know when you say something, you mean what you say, because that is a matter of security and safety for their life. That has to be taught. And the only way that you can teach that is by teaching them and using the rod of correction when they disobey. That's what he's saying. Because you want to teach your children how to listen and hear not just your voice, but the voice of authority. That's again why we have the condition, the shape that we're in today. Most young people don't respect authority. They can't hold or keep jobs because if the supervisor says, I don't like the way you're doing it, they get offended, they get hurt because they think somebody doesn't like them. Not only are you teaching them to be obedient to your voice, but you're teaching them to be obedient to authority, but you're also teaching them the process of learning to be obedient to God. Because there's going to come a point and a time you want your children to be able to hear from God just like you. And if you don't train yourself to hear, how many know you won't hear? You will sit in church week after week and you will listen to sermons, but you won't hear them. You know, because when you hear them, they become part of your life. These things are principles, right? These are precepts. This is what we do. Now, you have to teach your children to obey authority. Now, we're going to get into some practical things here, and just follow me. Let's look at a couple more scriptures here. Proverbs 13. Again, God knew that in the training and discipline of our children, that our emotions would get involved and our feelings would get involved, and sometimes it would be difficult. You know the old saying, when you go to spank your child, you tell them, hey, this is going to hurt me worse than you. You know, the child, he said, yeah, just give me the stick and let me. Now, you know, we know what we mean, right? It does hurt us to bring discipline to our children, especially when we care for them. But listen, remember, when you operate in these principles that I'm about to teach you, you're doing a process that it takes to teach your children in the ways of God. Now, when your children are small, okay, they're going to learn through this process, but when they get up older, they may be obedient and learn the things of God, but they're not going to know the process that you used. That's why you have to teach the process. Amen. All they know is they didn't do something right, they got it. Okay, but you got to teach them the wisdom of it and the instruction of it and the rightness of it, the why of we do it. Okay? Proverbs 13, did you find that one? Let's read verse 24. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son. Say hate. Okay, so here's the scripture. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Or that word there is early. Early as you can get it. Early as you think they can start receiving what you're trying to teach them and what you're trying to, you know, instill into them. It may be less than a year, it may be 8 months, I don't know, but it's early. Say early. It's early. You don't want to start trying to do it at 18 or 20. Going to be a little late, okay? So, let me just write these down. We don't have time to go to all of them. Hebrews 12:6, and if they would, put that in the Amplified and you just look at it up there. It says, the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves, and he punishes, even scourges, every son whom he accepts and welcomes to his heart and he cherishes. In verse 7, too, if you'd put that one up there, because it says, you must submit to and endure correction for discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not thus train and correct and discipline? Did you catch that? So, the father is the example, and the father uses discipline to teach and to correct us. Now, we're adults, we're New Testament, New Covenant Christians, and we'll get into that aspect some other time, but God uses the word to correct us. 2 Timothy 3:15, you want a reference for it. All right, now, let's look at point three here. The discipline is a doorway. Look at Proverbs 29. You're right there. We'll just stay right here in Proverbs 29:15. Discipline is not only your responsibility, but it is a doorway. Now, what do we mean by a doorway? Well, a doorway allows something in and it allows something out, right? Are you with me? All right. Look at Proverbs 29:15. Make sure you see these scriptures. Underline these. Get these things and meditate on them so you'll have good success in your family and raising your children. It says the rod, this is the rod of discipline again, the rod of correction. It says the rod and rebuke give wisdom. Are you seeing this? The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame or foolishness to his mother. Now, the Bible is telling us something here very important. Make sure you see this. The Bible is telling us that when we use the rod of correction, when we use rebuke or reproof, that it's a doorway into our children to bring or instill in them wisdom. You know, it's not enough just to pray for your children to grow in wisdom. Why? Because the foolishness has to be driven out. The way that you get wisdom according to the Bible, now listen to me, according to the Bible, the way that wisdom is imparted into your children is through the rod and through rebuke. If you're taking notes, write this down, because the rod represents, or the read, whatever version of the Bible you have, the rod represents physical discipline. The rebuke or the reproof there means a verbal correction. Now, notice what he said. In order to instill, or the doorway that brings wisdom into your children's heart has to take both aspects. It has to take the physical and it has to take the verbal. The verbal is that when you teach and show your child to a place where they can understand what they are doing is wrong, then that's instilling in them wisdom. Now, listen to me, because you can take a dog and teach them discipline. You could take a dog, for example, and put up a little electric perimeter fence, and they'll go to that fence and they'll hit it, and it'll shock them, and they'll go and they'll shock them, and they'll go and they'll shock them, till pretty soon you could take down the fence and they won't cross that line anymore. Now, you have taught them discipline, but the primary difference between a dog and your child is that your child can understand reasoning. All the dog knows is he can't go past that point or he's going to get shot. But your child needs to know he can't go in the street because, and understand what could happen to him if he goes in the street. Do you see the difference? A human being has the ability to reason, has the ability to know the whys and the wherefores and what happens if the consequences of. The dog doesn't, other than he gets shocked if he crosses that line. Are you with me? So, in order to, according to the Bible, in order to put wisdom into your children, how many of you want your children to be wise and have wisdom? You're going to have to use both the rod of correction and you're going to have to use the rebuke or the verbal correction. Proverbs 22:15. Just turn back. Are you okay? Proverbs 22:15. I read this a while ago, but I want to show it to you one more time. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. I wanted to read it one more time because notice that disobedience, the rebellion, is not driven out by verbal correction. Did you see the difference? I want you to see the difference. The only way that foolishness comes out of the heart of a child, that's why it's called a doorway. The only way you drive out foolishness is by using the rod, not sparing the rod. The way that the doorway brings wisdom into the child is by the reproof or the rebuke, the verbal correction, along with the physical correction. Are you following what I'm saying? These are very important. So, rebuke brings wisdom, and the rod drives out rebellion. Now, let me give you some practical ways here, and I got to kind of hurry to get through all these things because I just want to get practical. You know, sometimes we can get real spiritual in these things and go through a lot of things, and you don't get, well, how do I do it, Pastor? Well, we'd like to give you some nuts and bolts, okay? If you do these things that I'm sharing with you, listen, you will do it not only the right way, but you'll do it God's way, And God will reward or bring success when you honor His Word. That's why it's important as parents, we have to get this inside of us so it becomes a part of us. A lot of us weren't brought up this way. Could I hear an amen? A lot of us raising our children didn't have the knowledge and understand of bringing them correctly. And now we see sometimes the consequence or the result of not teaching our children to be obedient to our voice, and what we mean is what we say. Okay, so you ready? I'm going to give you about 7 of these right quick here. Practical, these are just practical things. Say practical. Reality, if you will, just down-to-earth things. Here's the first one. Get a hold of this. First thing is never discipline your children in anger. Never excuse yourself or give yourself the excuse that you make correction out of anger. Well, you don't understand. No. Never discipline out of anger. Because when you do it out of anger, you're going to hurt them. When you do it out of anger, they're going to despise you. You're not doing it the Lord's way. You're not doing it out of being corrective and instructive. You're not using rebuke and reproof. You're not using the way the Word of God teaches us. Now, there's sometimes people have anger problems, and you need to get help. I'm going to tell you this. I'll just be very... If you have an anger problem, you're probably going to have to use an alternative method of disciplining your children until you get delivered from that anger. Because, listen... If you discipline your children in anger, you will wind up abusing them. And that's against the law. Okay, and that's what sometimes gives, you know, Christianity a bad rap, or applying the principles of God, because we leave out some certain ingredients in the cake and then we wonder why the cake is a flop. So, say never. Never discipline. Now listen to this. Proper discipline does not hurt your children, and it should not produce fear. Did you hear what I said? When you discipline properly using the rod, depending on the age, you know, it may be just a wooden spoon or later a paddle, or, you know, like my principal, he had one of them big boards they made in shop class with holes in it. Grab your ankle, son. I don't think they still do that. Do they still do that in school? See, we get away because, you know, when you went to the principal's office, you knew, and you hope you got the appointment for the next day so you could wear some loose underwear. Now, they don't do these. I guess they don't do these things. You're in school saying, no, they don't do these things anymore. But, you know, you didn't have parents suing the administration, the faculty. But you know what? You didn't do that about once. And usually, if you were on the football team like I was, not only you got it from the principal, then you got it from the coach. And then if you had some parents that feared God, you got it again. So how many know you will learn? Okay. So your children, now look at this. Your children should trust you 100% of the time. In other words, they can't be afraid of you. You don't discipline your children to scare them or to make them afraid of you. Discipline should always be done under control. And if you're doing something because your children have done something to you, then you're not following. Listen, you're going to become frustrated. Because will our children ever do something to make us really mad? Absolutely. Will our children ever do something just to reach our boiling point? Absolutely, they will. But listen, you have to just back off and get a hold of yourself, because you never want to do it out of anger. Amen. Now, this is important, okay? And all this happens, see, all this happens because you didn't teach them discipline the first time you said something, you meant it. You're teaching your children that I'm going to say it to you 4 times before I mean it. So what is your child going to do? He's going to do it how many times? Now, if you're saying 15 times, I've told you 10 times, this is the 12th time I've told you. Well, they're waiting for number 11 and then 12 before they're going to do it. You're teaching them that what you say you don't mean until the 12th time. Don't look at me so spiritual now. All right, here's point number two. Discipline for the right reason. Now, how many know what the right reason is? The only time it is right, now listen to this very carefully, the only time it is right for you to discipline your children is when they disobey. Disobedience is the only reason that you ever use the rod of correction discipline on your children. Not because they embarrassed you, not because they acted some way, the only reason, for example, if your child took a toy or something and hit somebody, now I mean, it's wrong to hit somebody or a kid to hit another kid, but you have never brought instruction and taught them that it's wrong to hit somebody, then when they hit somebody, you have no right to spank them. Why? You didn't teach them not to hit somebody. Now, when you teach them, Johnny, you don't take an object, you don't take anything, you don't hit your friend, you don't hit anybody else, and they do it, then you must bring discipline. Did you get the difference? You don't discipline for any reason except disobedience. But disobedience has to be taught. What are they disobeying? If you haven't told them, how do you expect them to learn? How do you expect them to know what is right and what is wrong if you don't teach them what is right and what is wrong? You know, a lot of people want to child-proof their house. Now, this is something we weren't really versed in all the things I even teach you today when we had our children, but we didn't child-proof our house. We told our daughter, that's pretty, don't touch it. We didn't go get all of our knickknacks up and all of our, expensive objects all off of the shelves and stuff. She knew that she was not supposed to touch it. We don't want to go to somebody's house and say, oh, no, here comes the Moss's kids. Pick everything up, Henrietta. Get everything out of the way. Here they come. No. Teach your children to live in their house. Teach your children the environment that they live in and to respect the things that you respect. And if they touch the plant or they touch the knickknack, then you use the rod of correction. You say, don't touch that one time. And you tell them why they don't touch that. Now, tomorrow, if they touch that, don't reteach them. You've taught them once. Now you use the rod. You set them down, and you spank them, and you say, son, daughter, this is why you're getting the spanking. You touch the plant that I told you not to touch. How many of you are following what I'm saying? You don't come back and reteach them over and over, because now you're being taught by your children instead of you teaching your children. You're letting your children be in control instead of you be in control. Are y'all here? Okay. So your job is to give them rebuke. Why? Because rebuke brings wisdom into the child. There's a difference between disobeying, for example, and having an accident. I mean, there's a difference. You know, you might have a little child full of energy sitting at the table and they accidentally turn their milk over and spill it. Well, you're not going to spank them because they turned their milk over. Maybe they set it down funny and it flipped over . But if the child is up there playing around at the table and you've taught the child, we don't play at the dinner table. We eat at the dinner table. We respect, we pray over our food and we ask God to bless our dinner time. And the child gets up there and starts playing and flopping around and knocks something over. Now, how many know, is that an accident? Huh? Or is that disobedience? Okay, if it's disobedience, what do you do? What do you do? Moms, what do you do? That's it. You get the rod of correction and you explain to them why you are bringing discipline, because they disobeyed what you taught them. Come on, are y'all with me? Point three, are y'all listening to this? Okay, I can give you, there's some more things. The question you need to always ask yourself, here's the measuring stick. Did they disobey what I have taught them? Now, if you haven't taught them, you don't have any ground to bring the rod of correction. If you've taught them, then you bring disobedience. You don't say it 10 times. You don't say it more than once. You say it once, you teach it once, you impart the wisdom, and then the consequences of disobedience comes to them through the rod of correction. Here's the third, just giving you some practical things, is be consistent. Be consistent. You are confusing your children if one day it's okay to do this and the next day it's not. If one day, you know, you've taught your children, don't you touch that. But you're too lazy that day to get off the couch because your favorite program's on TV and you don't want to get up and bring discipline that day. You are confusing your children and you're teaching your children again that what you say you don't really mean. The kids, again, are training you. You know, if you're the type parent that, you know, you tell your child to do something and they don't do it, you tell them again and they know because they're going to test you. And if you're the type of parent that turns about 4 shades of red and your face turns into a devil-looking face and they know that that's when they got to stop, well, every time they do something, they're going to wait for you to get the devil face before they stop doing it. Right? Because they know how far to go. You think your children are dumb, but they're not dumb. Right? They learn by what you teach them. They learn to understand, are you a person of your word? Do you mean what you say every day? In other words, if it's wrong to touch it today, it's wrong to touch it tomorrow. If it's wrong to touch it tomorrow, it's wrong to touch it at somebody else's house. And you mean what you say, and if you have taught them, when they disobey, it's time for the... Okay. Now, kids will test you to see if you mean what you say. And let me just throw this in. Grandparents, you know, we don't really have the right to discipline our grandchildren unless the parents has given us permission. Now, if the parents given us permission, then go for it. But then apply the principles. Okay? If they haven't given you the permission to do that, then you don't do it. Principle number 4. Yeah, come on. If our children don't want to apply the principles of the Bible, we just have to pray and honor what form of discipline they want to do. They have to know what the consequences are. Are you here? Okay. Number 4. Is that where I'm at? The 4th principle here. Are you getting these things? Make clear and reasonable the consequences of what will happen if they do that. Make clear. Don't make the consequences, in other words, so catastrophic that you can't, again, keep or mean what you say. Because, listen, we'll get in the heat of battle with our children and we'll say things to them that we have no intention of doing. Now, what does that make us? That made us not only a liar, but again, the child knows that we're just kidding with them. Y'all are quiet. Let me put it where you can understand it. Say you're taking your children to an amusement park. And, you know, it costs money to go to those things. You might spend $50 a child just to get them in one of those places or more and drive forever to get there. And you're there getting in line to do something right, and Johnny misbehaves. And you say, Johnny, if you do that again, we're leaving the park. Now, you know, you're not going to follow up on what you said. You just spent $300 to get them there, 3 hours to drive them there, and you're not going to pick them up and take them all out and punish all the others because of what Johnny did. Are you following? Okay. In other words, Don't say something that you don't intend to follow through or carry out. What happens and what you need to do is, Johnny, you are not doing what I told you to do. We need to go have a little session. And you take Johnny and let Dad or whoever take the kids. They're going to ride this ride, Johnny, and you're going to sit and watch. No, but Danny, I don't want to do that. I'll behave. And they're going to pull and tug on your emotions. But what are you going to do? You're going to be a mom or dad, a person of your word, and you're going to take little Johnny back somewhere, and you're going to give him the pow-pow with the paddle. You might have to carry it. Listen, you know, depends on how big they are. You may have to have a big satchel. You can carry those little spoons in a diaper bag, but they get bigger. You're going to have to. Listen, all I'm trying to tell you is this, is that don't confuse your children by not meaning what you say. Make it clear. You're training them that they can get away with or how far they can go before they actually have to do it. You're training your children either one way or the other. You're training your children that, oh, if Daddy does this, and I know I've went too far. If Daddy does that, oh, you know. In other words, you have to know that when you tell them something, you instruct, you instill wisdom by how? By rebuke. It's the rod of correction that drives out the foolishness. Are you with me? Then number five, let me get two or three here more. Point five is use the paddle and not your hand. Did you hear that? Now again, the age will determine what size of paddle, but you're not inflicting pain, and it's an act of correction to bring discipline. It's not designed to scare them. It's not designed to bring blisters and bruises on their bottom. Are you here? It's designed to bring correction. Discipline should be an event, not a degrading, you know, situation, but a situation that causes humility in that child. Doesn't the Bible teach us to be humble? When you have to take little Johnny and you have to discipline him because he didn't obey what you taught him and you said it one time, it's supposed to be a humbling experience, not a degrading experience. He's supposed to learn that when he does something that he was told not to do, there is a consequence of that action. Right? Don't let them grow up and think that they can just continue to be in rebellion and there's no consequences to that. Okay? So, hands were given to you by God for what? For loving, for hugging, and nurturing. You know, parent go up there and try to wipe maybe the hair out of their eye, and you go up like that, and the kid draws back like that because they think they're fixing to get a slap across the hand. Well, the kids should never fear your hands, okay? They should never fear your hands. Your hands are given to you by God to love those children, to nurture those children. So you have to keep all these things in perspective. You know, when you say, don't touch it, you know, slap their hand like that. You get them, tell them why you're fixing to give them the rod on the rear end. The rear end is where God says you put the paddle. I said the rear end has all the nerve endings, has all the sensitivity, amen? And that brings, when you tell little Johnny, bend over, that is a humbling experience. Come on, somebody. Number six, make sure you follow through what you say. Discipline should be private. Now, this is where the event. See, understand that discipline is an event, okay? It's an event because it is supposed to not only be driving foolishness out of your children, but it's teaching them to learn how to hear and respect your voice, that your yeas mean yea and your noes mean no. But you don't discipline little Johnny in front of his sisters, or in front of his grandparents, or in a public place, you know, they misbehave in a restaurant, you take them somewhere and you discipline them. Tell them why you're taking them. Tell them what they did that you taught them that they shouldn't be doing. Take them in there in private, and then you use the rod of correction. Hello, somebody. Okay. And then seventh, and finally here. After discipline, you love. You give praise, and you pray. As soon as you have brought discipline God's way, the rod of correction, paddling on their little bottom, you take them in your arms, take them with your hands, and tell them, I am not mad at you. I'm teaching you what is right, and you didn't do what is right, and this is the consequence of you being in disobedience. Then let them know that now I'm going to pray with you, and if they're very small, you're going to have to lead them in a prayer. You know, it's like when we lead people to receive the Lord. They're babies in the Lord, aren't they? We have to first lead people to the Lord and lead them in prayer. You have to lead little Johnny. Johnny, now I want you, first of all, to ask God to forgive you because you were in rebellion. You disobeyed what you were told not to do. And the Bible says that when you're in rebellion, He says that is equivalent or even the same sin as witchcraft. Now, you don't want your children to grow up in witchcraft. You don't want your children to grow up and be brujos and curanderas and crystal ball readers. But that's what God is equating. That's the seriousness of rebellion. Are you here? Okay. So you pray, you know, Johnny, ask God to forgive you. Now ask Mommy to forgive you or Daddy or whoever it is. And then let them know you love them, right? And you hug them and say, okay, now go back and play. You see the difference? Okay. So it's always, you know, pray, forgiveness. As they get a little older, you let them pray because you've taught them how to pray. How many of you know how to pray and ask God to forgive you? Then why wouldn't you teach it to your children? See, why wouldn't you teach your children how to go to the Lord and ask God to forgive them because they see the seriousness of not obeying what has been told them by their parents? It says, obey, children, obey your parents because that is the first commandment of promise. And it says, you will have long, good, satisfied life. You want your children to have long, good, satisfied life? Teach them to obey your parents. Well, praise the Lord. Did y'all get anything out of that? Yeah. Discipline should be, you go ahead and stand up. Discipline should be an event, an opportunity, say opportunity, to teach wonderful lessons of God. Parenting, it's not meant to be a frustrating process. I think a lot of times people just don't want to have children because, man, they were raised in a horrible environment. They don't want to make mistakes. Well, you're going to make mistakes, right? Everybody makes them. But if we will get into the Word of God, Proverbs 26, I believe, teaches you and I that training is a process to an end result. If I allow my children to stay in rebellion, foolishness doesn't mean they're idiots. It doesn't mean they're dumb. It means they're disobedient. It means they're in rebellion. If I allow my children to stay in rebellion, they will grow up as rebellious adults. There's a lot of adults today. They've never been taught how to hear the voice of God because they were never taught when they were early in their small age to listen to the voice of their own parents. You see, the Scripture, it says, my sheep shall hear my voice, and a stranger they shall not follow. Well, the same principle applies for the parent. As a parent, you love your children, right? As a godly parent, you want to produce godly offspring. How many of you want your children to even be better than you were? Okay. Well, same principle. You want your children to learn to hear your voice so that when they get a little older, they go out to the schoolhouse. Whose voice are they hearing? Come on, somebody. When they come home during the day and they got the TV, whose voice are they hearing? When they go out there in the real world, whose voice are they hearing? You see the difference? They've learned to hear your voice because they respect you. And they respect that what you said is what you mean. And you do what you said you were going to do. And they know now because of God and the respect they have for God, they learn to hear the voice. How many of you want your children to learn to hear the voice of God? Because God doesn't make mistakes, does He? As many as are led by the Spirit, learn to hear the Spirit voice. He said, those are my sons. Those are my daughters. That's pretty good stuff today, isn't it? Real calm. I didn't even sweat today. Some of you are sweating. But you know what? Just lift your hands all over the room right now. Whether you're grandparents, whether you got siblings, whether you got, you know, children you're raising right now, or maybe you're saying, I wish I'd have known. No, just start applying the principles, even if they're 45 years old. You know, just start applying. You never quit being a parent to your children.